community. Lord, we thank you that you're at work in people's hearts and in their lives, Lord, in minds that are troubled this morning, Lord, that you are bringing freedom in this place from fear, from worry, from bondage. Lord, for people that are worried about finances, God, this morning, we thank you that you are here, Lord, that you are, Lord, at work in their life as Jehovah Jireh, their provider, Lord, that you're more than enough, that you're providing for their needs, Lord, even before they even knew they needed providing for. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer. Holy Spirit, this morning, everybody in this house that's sick, that's troubled, Lord, that's under, Lord, just stress and sickness, Lord, we just thank you that by the power of your Holy Spirit, this morning, they are healed. Holy Spirit, speak to us today, we pray. Lord, as we open your word, which is such an amazing gift, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would speak to us by your power, Lord, and that our lives, Lord, would be impacted today. Lord, that our lives would be changed today, that our lives and our faith would grow today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day to be in church. Welcome, everybody. Beautiful day out again. I'm so happy to be part of this church. I say this, but I'm really, 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 really mean it. I love when we get to be together. I love when we get to share time together. I love when we get to sing and jump around a bit and just have some time together. I love it. I'm just so thankful that God chose the church to work through, that he chose church to be his way of reaching out to people that need him. Just encourage each one of you today to just reach out and let God work in your lives. Allow God's work in your life. Take time to be quiet before him. Take time to just allow him to speak to you, to touch you, to change you, to challenge you. I was thinking while we were in prayer time this morning, that old song was going through my mind. Turn your, oh no, oh man. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, near to the heart of God. Hold us who stand before you near to the heart of God. When we're near God, when we draw near to him, it's a place where sin can't molest us, where struggles can't get to us. It's a place where we could just rest in him. Just need to take some time, people, to just rest in him. Just have time with him and enjoy him. Life is challenging. We all know, and some of us have more challenges than others. Some of us have some really serious troubles in our life. But the truth is if we'll just spend some time with God, it sort of all just melts away, at least for a while. It melts away and we could be with him. Just excited that we could be with him. I don't know if we realize just how big of a deal that is, that we can be with him, that he could be with us, that we could know him and be known by him. That's really, really cool. God created the heavens and the earth. God, by the power of his hand, can touch any person, can do anything. And he wants to spend time with you and me. Just don't forget that. Don't ever just grow just humdrum in your walk with God. Don't ever just let it become just another thing you do, but allow it to become more and more your life, the air, as we sing that song, the air you breathe, your holy presence living in me. Just allow the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're talking in this series, it's called Sink My Life, not as in sink like a boat, but sink as in synchronize my life. Because I really believe there's a cry in God's heart for us to get synced up with him, for us to know him, for us to be known by him, to have life fire on all cylinders. I don't know, I was joking last week a little bit about Harold, though, and he has trouble with his heart, but then he went and had trouble with his heart, so I'm not going to make that joke again. But like, Harold is a strong man. Like, I mean, he's over 60 for sure. And he's, when I work with him, I'm a big boy, and I'm a pretty strong boy. I grew up on the farm, threw bales around, did all that, worked out for a long time. But he's stronger than me. And he's in his 80s. And when he's firing on all cylinders, like, he's amazing. He can do anything. But when his heart goes out of beat, he struggles. He's tired. He's worn down. And a lot of times we're like that in our relationship. When our heart goes out of beat with God, we go from being really strong and really powerful and really able to take on life's challenges and the world around us, and we become weak and become tired. And God wants us to get hooked up with him. He wants us to stay hooked up with him, to stay synced with him. It's not an easy life to live if you don't have Jesus. And once we do have Jesus and we choose to live without him, or we choose to push him to the side, then it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. So I just want to challenge you, and I believe this is what God is calling us to. This couple sermons, the one I preached last week, the one I'm continuing this week, is God just gave it to me as laying in my bed one morning. He just wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that he has this life for you that does fire on all cylinders, but you just got to get connected to him and to each other and to our calling. And God wants that for us so much, a life that's really firing on all cylinders. I've seen so many people, and myself too, have struggled at times with just feeling like we missed it just by a little bit. Like you're a surfer and you just missed the crest of that wave by seconds, and you just couldn't catch up with it. And God never chose for us to live that way. He wants us to live in a place with him where things are firing, that things are going. We often feel like we just can't get it right. The truth is, though, if we could just get our lives back in sync with God, I don't know about you, but I have those moments where I'm just really connecting with God, and then life just seems to be just like, it's like you get caught in a wave and you just get carried along. Well, God wants us to live that way. He wants our lives to be in sync with him or in rhythm with him so that we could do so much better. Matthew 11:28 says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." There's a place in our relationship with God that we can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. So many times we strive and we push and we try and we push and we strive and we try to stay right with God. We're trying to do it in our own strength. But there's a place where we can learn the unforced rhythms of grace. There's a place where we can learn to live freely and lightly. Freely and lightly. Isn't that the place we all really want to live? Yeah. Who wouldn't want to live a life that's in time with what God has for us? Who wouldn't want to live a life that's free and light? I don't think I know anybody. I think that we need to get connected with God. Who wouldn't want to live a life that's in time with what God has for us? We can live that kind of life, and God really wants us to. He wants us to live that kind of life. He doesn't want us to always be struggling. He doesn't always want us to be feeling like we're forcing things. He doesn't want it to always be that way. He wants us to connect with him. In power and in grace with him. It's sort of like syncing your iPod. I mean, everybody, a lot of people have iPods now, and you plug your iPod into your computer, and the files between your computer and your hard drive between your computer and your iPod, they match. They link up, they join each other, and they become the same. God wants us to do that. He wants us to sync with him. And really, the truth is that the only way we're going to have a chance of living in God's grace and in rhythm and in sync with God as if we really do hook up and sync with him. We need to understand that if we're going to get life right, we first have to get our primary relationship right, and that's our relationship with God. We have to get that right. And we were talking last week, and we started talking and looking at the life of David. David was king of Israel, David was this guy, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. We can see pictures of David throughout the Bible where he's in the field and he's singing and he's writing and he's fighting with lions and bears and he's taking on Goliath. And, you know, like he's just this superhero. He's epic. He's like Braveheart. He's like, you know, the Gladiator. He's like all those people wrapped into one, but he's got this passion and love for God. He wrote the Psalms, which are like the most popular piece of poetry ever written. More people have read David's Psalms than probably any other piece of poetry ever written. David was a man that was connected to God. You know, I think about Psalm 23. We think about Psalm, you know, 51. We think about Psalm 61. Where David is just saying, like, God, you're everything to me. You're all I need. You're all I want. But we see that there's a place in David's life where he makes a big turn from where he was in this place with God and this place of connectedness to God to a place where he becomes an adulterer, a murderer, and that he doesn't even seem to care about it or even notice that he did something wrong. And what we've been trying to do is trace the path that David took so that we could identify where we're at in our life and that we could find our way back into right relationship with God, because that's where David did end up. So last week we read 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "It was now spring, the time when kings go to war. David sent out the whole Israelite army under the command of Joab and his officers. They destroyed the Ammonite army and surrounded the capital city of Rabbah, but David stayed in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, David got up from a nap and was walking around on the flat roof of his palace. A beautiful young woman was down below in her courtyard, bathing as her religion required. David happened to see her, and he sent one of his servants to find out who she was. The servant came back and told David, 'Here, her name is Bathsheba. She's the daughter of Eliam, and she's the wife of Uriah the Hittite.' David sent some messengers to bring her to his palace. She came to him, and he slept with her, and then she returned home." It's a far cry from waking up from a nap to all of a sudden picking someone else's wife out of your neighborhood and having sex with her. It's a big cry and a far jump that David made, and I don't think it was a jump that he made quickly. We're looking at David, basically, because David was this man after God's own heart. David was this man that had this great relationship with God. But David was also this man that created, did these horrible things. These things that most of us would never dream of doing or would never ever do. But the reason I chose David, the reason I really believe that David's a good guy to look at, is because if David could go there, then we have to know that we could go there. That there's a lot of times we can sit back and listen to a sermon or listen to a message and we can say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I would never do that. But if David could go here, and maybe you would never ever commit adultery or maybe ever commit murder, but maybe there's other things that you allow in your life. So what we did is we started to break down what happened with David's life. So the first thing we said was that David stepped away from God and allowed his heart to grow cold toward God. I think that a lot of times we do this for all different reasons. We allow our hearts to get cold toward God. We allow ourselves to get out of a relationship with God. A lot of times just because either we feel unworthy of God's presence or his power in our life. Sometimes we feel guilty, so we decide we just can't live the way God's called us to live. And other times, we just feel entitled. We think, well, I've done all this for God. I think God would give me a pass on this, that God would allow this to go, and we do that. I think probably David felt a little bit entitled. He's the king of the country. He's got the highest house on the hill, and he's just doing whatever he feels like doing. But for whatever reason, David allowed his heart to grow cold from God. Went on to talk about some of the warning signs of a heart grown cold toward God, of a relationship that's disconnecting from God. The first thing we said is that that when your relationship is disconnecting from God, you start disconnecting from and moving away from your God-given call. There's some things that most of us have That at one time it was the reason we woke up in the morning. It's what we really felt called to do. It's what we really enjoyed doing. And when your relationship is breaking down with God, then a lot of times your calling takes a second role. You start thinking about other things and finding other things that are more important. David, his spiritual gift was killing the enemies of Israel. He was like a warrior. He loved the battlefield. He grew up there. He killed Goliath when he was a very young man. He fought great wars, and they sang songs about David. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And it was the time, the springtime, the time when kings go to war, and David wasn't at war. And we have to ask ourselves this question: what is there in our life that we, if we have a burning mission in our life, if we have something that we just really feel like that God's called us to do, and we're not there anymore, we're not really pushing toward that, we're not really working at that anymore, we're not really finding a reason to get at it anymore, we have to ask ourselves, is our relationship with God drifting? Are we suffering from mission drift? And if we are, is our relationship with God drifting? Second thing we identified in David's life is he found himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. David, if he was really where his mission and his gifting had called him to be, he wouldn't have been on the rooftop surveying the girls out in the neighborhood. David would have been at war delivering Israel from its enemies. But David was up on the roof having a look around. A lot of times as Christians, we should be doing something for God. We should be doing something with mission and purpose in mind. And we find ourselves in the same place we used to be when we thought we would never go there again. For some people who had a big problem with gossip, you maybe just find that every time you go somewhere now, it's a place where people are gossiping. Maybe you're a person that had some addiction problems and you swore you're never going to the bar again, or you're never going to, you know, smoke dope again, or whatever that you do. But you said and made a commitment you would never do that again, but you find yourself that everywhere you go now, that's a problem. That's a temptation. You need to ask yourself the question, am I suffering from a drift in my relationship with God? The next step in David's life is he failed to see sin for what it was. He's looking around the neighborhood, and he's looking at other people's wives. He's like voyeur before they probably had French. He's looking around at everybody else's wife from his place on the rooftop, and he didn't see that as a problem. When we start to look at sin in our life and make excuses for it, when we start to see sin in our life and we give ourselves a buy on it, there's probably a big problem in our relationship with God. If you've decided that you don't have to forgive somebody and you sort of find a way to back it up with Scripture, then there's probably a problem in your relationship with God. Sin is sin in God's eyes. And He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can identify the sin in our lives. If you have found a way to live in sin, and either you make excuses for it or you feel entitled to that because of all that you've done, then there's probably a drift in your relationship with God, and you need to identify it. And as you can see, each one of these steps is taking David further down a path towards sin. Each level of this is the level that we could find ourselves maybe at, and maybe we need to see that level in our life. Maybe it's mission drift. We just have lost our mission in life. We need to reconnect with God. Maybe we've already got to the place where we know we're always in the wrong place at the wrong time, and we know probably there's a problem here in our life. We just need to reconnect with God. Just stop and get connected back to God. Maybe when we're starting already to make excuses for sin and we're allowing ourselves to live a life of sin or a lifestyle of sin, and we need to get back to God. We need to see these warning signs. The last thing is David found himself in a life of sin. He saw Bathsheba. He liked what he saw. He called her to his place. He slept with her, and she got pregnant. And then the story goes on. That's where we ended last week. The story goes on, and David she came back to David and said, David, I'm pregnant. And David, being the good, you know, man of God that he was, said, well, we can fix this. I'm going to call your husband back from the battle. So he told Uriah, you're a good man. You fought hard for me. You go and have some fun, you know, enjoy your wife, and then you can go back. And Uriah says, no way. I've got people on the battlefield. My men are on the battlefield. This is my king's call for my life, and I can't sleep with my wife while my men are in danger. So he sleeps in David's doorway. David, next day, gets him drunk, sends him home, still the same thing, won't sleep with his wife. He comes back, sleeps in the king's door. So David finally decides, well, there's only one way to fix this mess. So he sends him to the battlefield, to the place where he's sure to get killed, and sure enough, he gets killed. And David thinks this little mess is all cleaned up. He marries Bathsheba. She has his child, and he thinks it's all tidy now. But the story goes on in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, and it says this: But God was not at all pleased with what David had done, and he sent Nathan to David. Nathan said to him, there were two men in the same city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had huge flocks of sheep, herds of cattle. The poor man had nothing but one little female lamb, which he had bought and raised. It grew up with him and his children as a member of the family. It ate off his plate and drank from his cup and slept on his bed. It was like a daughter to him. One day, a traveler dropped in on the rich man. He was too stingy to take an animal from his own herds or flocks to make a great meal for his visitor. So he took the poor man's lamb and prepared a meal and set it before his guest. David exploded in anger. As surely as God lives, he said to Nathan, the man who did this ought to be lynched. He must repay the lamb four times over for his crime and his stinginess. That whole verse starts with, but God was not pleased at all with what David had done. I think a lot of times in our lives, when we feel disconnected from God, which I'm sure David did, and we think we got away with something, we think we tidied up our mess, we covered our tracks, there's no one that can find out what we've done, it's all good. We have to realize that God knows that no matter what sin you think you got away with, no matter what sin you've been hiding that you haven't repented for, God knows, and God's not happy with that. Let me explain this, because I think we need to understand this. A lot of times we look at God and we say God is heavy-handed. That a lot of us grew up in a tradition where we felt if we did something wrong, God was going to take a bat and beat us with it, because he was just waiting for us to step out of line so he could do that. And I know probably we don't say it in those words, but that's the feeling we have. We always felt like if we did something wrong, we were just waiting for the axe to fall. And the reason God wants us to stay away from sin, the reason God wants us to stay in a place with him, is because the way he created us, the reason he created us was to do life with him, to live life in relationship with him, that was the best place we could live, that would be where we were firing on all cylinders, that would be where we find this place of grace and peace and wonder with God. Now, God disciplines his children. The Bible is very clear about that. But the fact is that God's desire to see you come back to him is so that you could be in the place where he really created you to live. He wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants you to be in fellowship with him all your life. And when he was ticked at David because David had done this, it was more because he wanted David to be back in that spot with him, where he spent time with him, where he enjoyed relationship with God, and God enjoyed relationship with him. So he was going to bring David back to this place. So he sent Nathan, the prophet. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I'd done anything near or even not near what David had done, and I'm the kind of guy I always feel guilty anyway, and I always feel like I'm never going to get away with what I've done. So, like, as soon as that prophet walked through the door, I'd be like on my knees. God, I'm sorry, I can't. I'd be waiting for the axe to fall. I'd be waiting for someone to find out. And I would realize as soon as the prophet walked through the door that it was me and it was for me and I'm busted. I know growing up in this church, we've had a lot of people in the past that have prophetic kind of gifts that have come here. Len, you know, Zodeman. And I remember, especially when I was younger and a teenager, I would be like praying and asking God to forgive me for the whole week before someone came just so I wouldn't get busted in front of the whole church. You know, and then Len would come and he'd have that look and he'd stare you in the eye and get like this close to you and he'd look at you and you're like, uh-oh, what did I do? In fact, whenever I call Len, I still pray before I call Len, so I don't, no, I'm joking. but David seemed like he didn't get it. And God wants us to be in a relationship with him. And David, he sent the prophet Nathan to talk to David. But here's the problem. When Nathan came to talk to David about his heart and his place with God, David judged others instead of judging his own heart. David judged others instead of judging his own heart. There's something about our lives that we need to look at our lives honestly from time to time. The Bible said, judge yourself and you will not be judged. The Bible says, before you start trying to pick slivers out of someone else's eye, get the beam out of your own eye. And a lot of times, we're just trying to pick that sliver out of someone else's eye. We can't hardly reach past the beam that's in our own eye. It doesn't say we can't help someone get a sliver out of their eye. It just says deal with the beam in your own eye. And David wasn't really willing to go there. Isn't it amazing how David deflected his problem to someone else? He just found a way. He just thought it had to be someone else Nathan was talking about, not him. And it's been happening from the beginning of time, people blaming others. If we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 to 13, it says, God called to the man Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid. Here's another great sign that you're getting out of relationship with God. When you start feeling afraid. When you start feeling afraid of God, when you start feeling afraid to be in his presence, this is a good sign that your relationship with God is deteriorating. And that's what happened to Adam. And God said to him, Adam, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from? And the man said, well, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from the tree. And yes, I ate it. It's really her fault. It's not my fault. If you wouldn't have given me the woman, then I would be fine. As I tell my boys, run from the womankind, save yourselves, you know. It's you need to, but he's like, it's her fault. So God looks at Eve. Like, you know, like when we're dealing with our kids and we say, so what happened? And the one says, well, he did it. So then we go, what happened? So he looked at Eve and he said, what happened? She said, well, it was that serpent that did it. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and the blame game goes on and on and on. David had someone to blame. We have someone to blame, and we need to take responsibility for our own life and our own sin, our own failure. We blame so many different people for stuff that happens in our life. We blame our spouse. We blame our kids. We blame our neighbors. We blame our boss. Sometimes we even blame the pastor. The truth, though, is that when conviction comes to us, either through the Holy Spirit or through the love of a friend, the last thing we should do is look for someone to blame. Whenever conviction comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's God calling us back to himself. It's God calling us back into a love relationship with him. It's God calling us so that he could be with us and we could be with him. It's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to repent. God loves you deeply, and he wants you to get the sin out of your life. He's not standing there with a big stick waiting to beat you to death. He sends conviction of sin so that we will repent and so that we will turn back to him. He wants us to turn to him. And we might be in a pretty good place with God today. We might think everything's okay. We might think that it's all right, but we feel in a lot of ways empty. We feel in a lot of ways like we don't know what we get up for in the morning. We feel that way. God's calling you today to come to Him. He didn't ever want us to live a life that was disconnected from Him. He's calling to us. And maybe you haven't committed adultery. Maybe you haven't even kicked the neighbor's dog. Maybe you've just neglected your relationship with Him. And He's just saying today, repent. Turn away from the life you're living. Turn away from a life that's really empty, a life that's disconnected from Me, and return to Me. So the next thing in David's regress and his come back to God was David repented. David didn't just say, I'm sorry. David actually repented. This is what the Bible said in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13. Then David confessed to Nathan, I've sinned against God. And Nathan pronounced, yes, but that's not the last word. God forgave your sin. You won't die for it. God did forgive him. In Psalm 51, David writes a psalm about this whole experience with Bathsheba and Nathan the prophet. And it says in Psalm 51, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I confess my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. The first thing David had to realize is he was in a place with God where he never wanted to be. He was in a place actually that was away from God. It was a place that he never wanted to be and never thought that he would ever end up. He was in a place of separation with God. Last week we talked about the fact that hell is really, it's being separated from God for eternity. God never wants us to be separated from Him. He wants us to live in relationship with Him. The second thing, though, that David had to realize, that his only help was found in God. Your only help, my only help, is found in God. No matter what you've done today, no matter where you are today, whether you're walking with God, and that's cool because then your help is found in God. But even if you're far away from Him today, even if you've allowed everything else in your life to come in the way, even if you've allowed sin to take a place in your life that it should never have, God is your help today. God is your only help today. And God is calling to you because He loves you. God is a good God. He's full of mercy and compassion. He's full of grace. And He wants you to come to Him. This is what David was talking about all through here. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He identified that that was what he needed. That in fact, the only thing that he wanted as a man was to get back into a right relationship with God. In verse 4, he identifies that who his sin was really against. And his sin was against God. I think sometimes we think we can sin, and it's against a person. Maybe you're, you know, ticked off at your spouse, and you just want to put the deet to them and just grind them a little bit because they've done bad to you, and you want to make them sweat. You want to make them hurt a little bit. It's not them that you're sinning against. It's God. Maybe you just think I can, you know, maybe you're single and you think, you know what, I could just get in the back seat of the car and do my thing. And I'm only sinning against myself, my own body, and this person I'm with, and we both agreed it's all okay. But it's not that person or yourself that you've sinned against. It's God that you've sinned against. We've chosen to lie instead of tell the truth. It's not that person that you've sinned against. It's God. David said, it's against you and you only that I've sinned. When we choose to hold unforgiveness, we don't choose to hold unforgiveness against a person. We choose to sin against God. Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40, it says, "When the king shall answer and say to them, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me." It's really important for us to realize who we sin against. And it's really important for us to repent. It's really important for us to change the way we're living and turn our lives toward God. David truly repented and God truly forgave. But David didn't stop there at repentance. David so totally sought to get his life back in sync with God. David sought to get his life in sync with God. In Psalm 51, verse 10 to 17, it says, "Create in me." So he'd gone through this whole deal about repentance and asking God to cleanse him and purify him and to help him to walk in the paths. And this is what he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Not a left spirit, but a right. Right, that we walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Just how many times I talked about this at the beginning. We get to live in the presence of God. We get to have communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's a free gift to us. It was part of what Jesus paid for. It was part of when Jesus left the planet. He said, "It's better for you that I go, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And He wants to be with us. How many of us have ever just said, "Holy Spirit, just be really close to me today"? I think most of us have prayed that prayer at one time. How many of us prayed that prayer today? How many of us have asked the Holy Spirit to really draw near to us in this past week? David was begging God, "Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." We get to be with Him. But David was saying, it's not enough for me just to say sorry. It's not just enough for me to repent. But I want to get back in that place with you. And I understand that it's the work of the Holy Spirit in my life that can bring me into that place. And he was saying, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." Here's ultimately where it leads. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Jehovah, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it to you. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So many times I think in our Christian culture, we've taken a "I'm sorry" without thinking kind of an approach to God. I know, like, a lot of times, I mean, in my relationship with Christine and the kids, sometimes I'm not the perfect husband. Matter of fact, a lot of times I'm not the perfect husband, not always the greatest father. And a lot of times I know it, and I say, "I'm sorry." I walk away, and 5 minutes later, I'm doing exactly the same thing that I did before. We take this "I'm sorry" attitude, but the Bible doesn't say "I'm sorry" and be baptized. The Bible said repent and be baptized. God's calling us toward repentance. He's calling us to change the way we live. To repent, it doesn't mean say sorry. Repent actually means go from walking and doing life this way, and turn around and do it this way. Do it the opposite way that you've been doing it. Stop doing life the way you're doing it, and do it in another way. And God's calling us toward that. The problem is we often say sorry and then go on living life the way we always had. We're separated in our relationship with God. We know that all is not yet well, yet we say sorry for the same thing over and over again. We sing a song in church here. We haven't sung it for a while now, but it's that song, we're coming back to the heart of worship. And sometimes I sing that song just to remind me about what that is, that repentance. It says, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. So many times we try and bring God stuff. We try and bring him an offering and say, well, that should do it. I'm okay now. I brought my tithe. I threw my offering in the bucket at the front, and it's all good now. Or we maybe throw him some of our time. We'll come and serve in volunteer work, and we'll say, it's okay. It's good. I'm all right with God now. But it's not what God is looking for. God is looking for you to repent and turn to him, to be in relationship with him, to connect with him. And I think it's really important for us to hear what God is saying. David was not happy just to say sorry. He was truly repentant. And the posture of David's heart in verses 10 to 17, that whole, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. You know, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. All that posture of just realizing that all he needed was God and that was more than enough. That when we connect with God, all the other stuff that we find so important, all the desires, all the things we have are just that. They're just stuff. They burn up. When we leave this planet, they all go. They all burn. They all die. But the truth is, it's relationship with God and relationship with each other that we carry on. So today, I just want to, we sort of did this a little bit last week, but I just want you to, just as we have the band come and play, they're going to come out here now, and we're going to just take a few moments as they play and just ask God to reveal to us if we've walked away. And we talked about this last week, and a lot of you maybe did that last week. But also, let's just take some time this morning as we sing and as we pray, just to repent if there's things we need to repent of. But then, more than that, to get our life in sync with God. As we head into this week, as we head into really the rest of our lives, that God would reveal to us what we need to do and that we would do it. So let's all just stand. And actually, if you want to come to the front and sit and pray, that's cool. If you want to sit down and pray, that's cool. Whatever you want to do. But let's just take a little bit of time, just listen to God and allow him to do his work in our hearts.